Lord, we just thank you so much for all you're doing, all you've done, and what you will do today. And we thank you, appreciate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you have conquered the enemy of our soul. You have overcome the world, Lord Jesus. And you have overcome on our behalf. And we are overcomers because we are in you. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. All of us know what it's like to fail. And maybe some of you don't, but I certainly do. And you know, really a key to receiving from the Lord is humility and gratitude for what he's done, because we have a recognition that we've all fallen short. We've all failed God. We haven't lived up to all of his expectations for us. But if you're in Christ, you have a desire in you to do that. Amen. To live for God and to serve and please the Lord. But we need to remember that it was the Lord that first sought us out. God's heart is redemptive in nature. And sometimes we have the wrong view of God. We often judge God by our own experiences in life and people that may have been in authorities over us. And if they failed, then we feel like God would be the same way. Or if they treated us a certain way, then God must be like that. The only way we can really know God is that God is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And I have had all kinds of views of God, sometimes based upon things that I was taught that weren't quite right. Now, we know that God is holy and God hates sin because sin is destructive. Amen. So we know our Father's heart is to protect his creation. He loves you. He loves his people. He loves his creation. And he wants his creation to be redeemed. That's his heart. But that's not going to happen until we've come to the place where we realize that we're lost. And so you can't offer people the solution before they know they've got the problem. And there is a gospel out there today. It's like as some call it, a greasy grace or a cheap grace gospel that tells people that all you need to do is say this prayer and you're a shoo-in. But yet that's not actually biblical. Jesus went about preaching repentance. Amen. That was the beginning. You need to turn. Amen. From your ways and to the Lord who alone can save you. There is forgiveness in only one, amen, and that is in Jesus Christ. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way to the Father. Jesus himself said that. So it's not all these multiple ways to get to God as some people are teaching and believing. But all of us are prone to wander and to fail at times. So we need to remember that God is the one who took the initiative again to seek and to save that which was lost, and so that we have the proper perspective on him, and that his heart is actually to save, to heal, to restore, amen, to make new. And he's not out to get you. He doesn't want, you know, to judge or destroy a soul in hell, amen. It's not his heart, it's not his desire. We destroy ourselves by rejecting the only way to be made right with God, and that is through Jesus Christ, through repentance, amen, towards him. That means that I have to repent of my sins. I have to turn from my sin, and I have to be willing to give my life over to him. You see, life doesn't begin until we come to the place of surrender. I'm talking about a full surrender. Some people are, week after week, they're putting a patch on the old thing, trying to improve upon the old, getting some self-help, if you will, at church. But that doesn't work, amen, because the anointing will not be applied upon the flesh. God will not accept the flesh or the old Adamic nature. The old Adamic nature has to be put to death. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Unless a man be born of water and blood, he cannot what? See the kingdom. So God came to transform us into a new creation. He didn't come to change or patch up or improve upon the old. And so people who are trying to just simply add something new to something old are going to be miserable. They're never going to be fulfilled. Why? Because there's no life in you and I. Life is in Christ. Amen. It is God that actually breathed life into the first man. Amen. And so we need God to regenerate us, to transform us into a new creation. When you're born again, then these things begin to make sense to you. Before that, you're saying, what are these people thinking? Look what they're missing out on, man. You know? Yeah, I know, waking up in the morning sick and throwing up and bowing down to the porcelain god, as we used to say. You know, how did that work for you, right? Our people are trying so many different things, you know, to try to satisfy something in them, an emptiness that's in them that only God can fill, as you know. So it's very important that we first understand the heart of God was not to condemn. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. That's God's heart. And so when you are born again, God places you within a body, a group, a family of believers, and he gives you certain giftings, abilities, amen, and we are to use those for the purpose of edifying or building up the body of Christ in love, amen. And so God has designed us to need each other. In order to grow healthy, we need to be within the context of a family, amen, to where we're receiving the benefit of each member working together. And so we are to minister to one another according to the measure of grace that God has given us. Sometimes when a person fails, and I've been here before, I've been in that place before, as you're doing good, you know, you've got the victory, something happens, you fall, you sin, you make a mistake. And now you feel condemned and you feel unworthy. And the enemy comes up and he starts to clobber you over your head with the thing that you did over and over again to try to discourage you in hopes that you will disconnect from the body of Christ and stay away. You see, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have koinonia, right? Fellowship one with another. God's plan is that we would gather in his name as a family and allow him to be Lord over this family. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Amen. So are you. We all have different assignments, but we're all at the end of the day. Even Paul, the great apostle Paul, said, Paul, an apostle of the Lord or a servant of the Lord. You know, he always introduced himself not with titles, but as a servant. You know, because that's what we're called to do, is to serve one another. And if you're doing good, I'm doing good. Because we're part of the same body. If any part of your body is not doing well, not feeling good, you got pain, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Even if you stub your toe, it's like your whole body seems to hurt. You're feeling it, right? So what we want to do is we want to see the people of God restored. We don't want to see people healed. We want to see people reconciled to God. Amen. We don't want to kick a person when they're down. And we have to be very careful when we do, amen, judge others on their failures, because that could be us. And how would we want somebody to treat us if that was us? We have to consider the goodness of God, consider the mercy of God, that he even called me out in the first place, that he had mercy upon me, that he forgave me of my sin, amen, and called me to his own. And so otherwise we can become proud of our accomplishments and how well we're doing. And I find that if I start to get proud about how well I'm doing, things don't go so good. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He can't use a proud person. He uses broken vessels, doesn't he? He uses people that know that they don't have what it takes to do what God has called them to do. So they'll rely upon the grace of God to be a vessel for him in this world. The river of God will seek out a low place, you know. Rivers don't flow over the tops of mountains. They flow in the low places. Amen. So if your heart is humbled before God, he can use you. And as someone once said, he's not looking for golden vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. We get to do this. We get to be a servant of the Lord. He allows us to partake in this. Ephesians 4:16. You're wondering if I was ever going to get to it, right? He, Jesus, makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and what? Full of love. What kind of love are we talking about here? We're talking about God's kind of love. Amen. The love of God. Not just the touchy-feely feeling of love, the eros, which can be a sensual love, that can be a deceptive love even. But the kind of love that God had towards us was a sacrificial love, an unidirectional love, a love that God so loved, agapeod, agape love, the world that he gave. So God's love is a love that gives, is a love that blesses, is a love that serves. Are you hearing me? Is a love that puts others before yourself. God put you first in redemption. Think about it. Sometimes, hear me, people are not restored because they're fearful that they will be judged by coming back to fellowship meeting. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, folks, that can be a legitimate concern. Because if we forget what God has done for us, we can become proud of how well we're doing, and we can get into this place where we start to compare ourselves to others. And by doing so, we actually shut people out. And they become afraid of even being honest about their true situation. And so we pretend. In other words, we become a hypocrite. Rather being authentic and being real about our situation, because God can deal with an honest heart. And he will. But if we pretend to be what we're not, we'll never become what we should be. So God expects every one of us in his body to do our part in building up one another. Again, if you're being blessed, I'm blessed. How many can celebrate in the gifting of somebody else and not be jealous? If I'm jealous over somebody's gift, it means I'm proud. I'm making it about me and not about the Lord. So we should be celebrating each other in the context of the body. Amen. And know that each one of us has been given something unique, something special from the Lord that we can use to be a blessing, to build up each other in love, the love of God. And so whatever's not done in love is illegal. Whatever is not done in the love of God is legalism. How many know you can do good things but do them with the wrong spirit? When we serve the Lord, do we serve the Lord because we're trying to earn credit, or do we serve the Lord because we have a heart of gratitude for all he's done in our lives and allowed us, hallelujah, to be part of the family, and we get to serve him, and out of appreciation for all he's done, I offer my body back to him? In 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Don't just sit on it. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Galatians 6:1, brethren, listen, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, focus on that. You who are spiritual, that means and you're in right standing with God. Do what? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Be gentle about it, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a connection between bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the perfect law of liberty, the law of love, the law of Christ. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if any another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." So here's an example. If you were to cut your finger and it becomes infected, what's the normal thing to do? Ignore it? Take care of it. Minister to it, right? If it's cut, it's bleeding, you need to do something. You got to get out the Band-Aids, right? But you're going to apply that demonic salve on there sometimes too. That stuff that stings, you know, that red stuff. Yeah, it was red for a reason, you know, but it works. You put that stuff on there, amen. You have to apply the salve. You have to apply the healing ointment to the wound in hopes that it will be restored. So if anyone is overtaken in a fault, God's heart is redemptive in nature, and therefore what he wants to do is he wants to see that person restored. He doesn't want to see them destroyed. And he doesn't want us to get a haughty attitude to think, well, look how good I am and how good I'm doing and what's wrong with these people. We just need to consider that, again, it's by the grace of God that we stand. It's by his ability that we can overcome. You and I do not have within us the ability to overcome this world, the flesh, or the devil. That overcoming power is from the Lord himself. Amen. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give us the ability to overcome our own selves, first of all. Amen. Our flesh and this world and that devil. And so the Lord came in Luke 9:56, not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So we need to keep this in mind, guys, no matter what happens. And God gets disappointed in us. We get disappointed in our kids when they mess up. But if you're a good parent, you want to see your child learn. You want to see them grow. You may have to use some discipline, amen, to get their attention. All right, to get them into the place where they're going to be okay. They're going to be safe. How many know there's safety and discipline? It's not about being mean, it's about protecting that child. And mostly protecting them from themselves. And so God knows how to do that. He doesn't want to lose us, and so he will discipline his sons, amen? If you're in Christ, then you will be disciplined. And we've all been disciplined by God. Can you say amen? Amen. So what's our mission? Our mission is a mission of reconciliation. We want to get people back into right standing with God, reconciled to God. Amen. So the day is coming. We know that God is going to pour out his wrath on this sin sick world and on the wicked. And the wicked are those who refuse to repent when they've had the opportunity, when God had been pleading with them to come and to be saved. Just as it was in the days of Noah, as God had used Noah as a preacher of righteousness to warn the people of impending judgment. Amen. And for 120 years, he stood in that gap. And for those who had rejected the offer of God, the love of God for their own salvation, that they might be spared from the wrath to come, those wicked were finally brought to a place of judgment. Because the Lord said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And the same thing is true today. God is being long-suffering. He's being patient with it. He's not willing that anyone should perish. Aren't you glad that God has been patient with us? Oh, I am. There's some days I don't like me. But I'm thankful that I have a Father who loves me. And if I will come to him, I will find forgiveness. I will find restoration for my soul. That's God's redemptive heart. That's the name of the message today, brother. God's redemptive heart. But today is the day of salvation. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or asked this question. I'm sure you have. But often the question is asked, how Or why are the wicked people allowed to continue so long in their sin? Well, I believe a simple answer for that is God is merciful. God is merciful. We know that God raised Pharaoh up, amen, as an instrument that he would use even to discipline his own people for a season. But eventually, God also destroyed him because he was unrepentant. He had hardened his heart. Now, how many here today are grateful again that the Lord has saved you, amen, has been patient with you? And you, I think a great example, of course, is one of the greatest apostles, the one who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul, right? Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of the church. How God saved this man. He says, you're perfect for the job. You know, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then it goes on to say, but the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come. It's not now. God's still being patient. God's still giving you an opportunity to repent and be saved. Amen. But the day is coming when God will say time is up, and he will pour out his wrath upon the wicked of this world. Now, we know that none of us apart from Christ are good enough. That's why Jesus went to the cross, because we could not pay for our own sins, because we'd all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Amen. So the only way we can be justified is by the mercy of God. And the mercy of God was demonstrated for us at the cross when Jesus took our place on the cross. He bore the sins that we deserved to bear. Amen. He paid the penalty that we deserved to pay. On our behalf, he shed his blood for us. No one takes my life from me, Jesus said, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. Jesus was willing to give himself up in such a brutal fashion. They crucified him because he wanted you and I to be restored. He wanted you and I to be brought back, amen, into right relationship with the Father. And it was impossible for us in our own goodness to be made right with God. And that is the bondage that so many live in today. They live in this bondage of trying to be good enough for God to accept us. And you'll never be good enough for God to accept you. He does not accept the old Adamic nature, the sinful nature that we were born with. It's been corrupted, amen, because of the generational pass down of that same sin, amen, from our forefather Adam. So we're all born into that corrupted state. And that's why we must come to Jesus Christ, amen, that we could be forgiven, that we can be transformed into a brand new creation. Not a patch up of the old thing, but you must be born again. And when you're born again, God gives you his heart. He puts his heart in you. And you have a heart that loves God, a heart that can worship him in true spirit and truth, amen. So we need to know that you're born again. You see, some people are just told, oh, you said that sinner's prayer, you're born, I believe you're born again. No, I don't believe you're born again until you come to the place where you know you're a wretch. Till you know that you're sinful and that you're in trouble. And you'll have to cast yourself on the mercy of God, because it was in God's mercy, amen, that he came. Because he knew we couldn't save ourselves, so Jesus came to pay the price for us. That's good news, guys. I want to just talk about something else, guys. I believe in charity. I believe that we should help people in need. Can you say amen? Amen? But, you know, sometimes, guys, churches can be good at meeting the physical needs of people, but neglecting the most important part of it is that is the soul. And even some of the mercy ministries and the charities that are out there where they're helping people, yes, they're giving them clothing and food and shelter in some cases, you know. Those are good things, guys, but the most important thing is that the soul of that person is redeemed, because you could give a person everything they need in this world, but if they have lost their soul, they have lost everything. So our emphasis must be on the soul of that person. And sometimes it's through the benevolence and through the love of God demonstrated through a good work, amen, that people will realize that, why did you do this for me? Well, because God moved upon my heart to do this. Because God loves you and God wants you to know He's concerned about you. God wants you to be reconciled. God wants you to be in right standing with Him. And you'll never be in right standing with Him on your own. You can't make yourself good enough. You can't do enough good works to save you. You must be born again. You must come to Jesus, the only one that can save you, and cast your soul down at the feet of Him, amen, who alone holds immortality. We need to see people restored back to a relationship with God. And a great example of God's redemption is here in the book of Zechariah, an Old Testament type. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you. And I will clothe you with rich robes.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, in verse 7, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. And I will give you, listen, places to walk among these who stand here.'" Ooh, heavenly places. I believe that Joshua represents a backslidden priesthood. And in the New Testament, you and I are a priesthood, a royal priesthood. And so this can also apply to a backslidden believer, if you will. And you see how defiled he was. He had filthy robes. And because of that, he was disqualified, okay, as a priest. He had lost his place. But here you see God's redemptive heart, that God wanted to make things right for Joshua. God wanted to restore Joshua. It says he was clothed with what? Filthy garments. And of course, a garment is what? An outward, all right? These are talking about his outward garments, the visible garments. And you know, sometimes, guys, our lives do not match up with our testimony. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever blown your testimony before? Amen? Well, what you need to know is that even if you have done such a thing, God still has redemption. God can still restore you. But you need to take responsibility for your actions. You need to be repentant in your heart. And you need to come to Him, amen, to the only one who can forgive you and restore you back to usefulness again. There are people that have left the church, people that have left the ministry because of a failure. And thinking that God will never accept me back, God will never forgive me again because of what I did. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. You understand that Satan was the one that was standing there to do what? To oppose Joshua. By what? By pointing this finger of condemnation. Because when you and I sin, amen, even as believers, the enemy wants to immediately come up and he wants you to get under condemnation. He wants to put the guilt and the shame on you, amen, and point the finger and say, well, rightfully so, look what they did. He's the prosecuting attorney. He's the one that's pointing the finger and say, you did it. And what is our response? No, I didn't. Our response has got to be, you're right, I did sin. I did sin against God. You know, there's a time when you need to agree with the devil. If he's accusing you of a sin, amen, to try to condemn you, you need to agree with him. You know, you're right. I need to go back to Jesus where I know I can find mercy and forgiveness, amen, and be restored. Yes. Hallelujah. Because the difference between the condemnation of the enemy, the accuser, always brings you to a place of condemnation. Conviction of the Holy Spirit does what? It brings you to a place of mercy. Amen. He convicts us so we return to Jesus and receive mercy and grace to help us. Amen. So we can be restored and put back, hallelujah, in the race. If you've fallen out of the race, get back in the race. Run back to Jesus. Amen. Get it right with Him and don't allow the enemy to rob you anymore. To shut you down and tell you you're not worth it. Amen. God thought you were worth it when He went to the cross. So Joshua became unfit as a priest because of some sin. He was backslidden, which really depicted the entire nation of Israel, the priesthood at that time. And you know, it is true that as the priest, so the people. Isn't it true? You got ministers across the United States that aren't living right, amen, and they're teaching, you know, doctrines of demons, and well, it defiles the people. We are the salt. We are the light. I mean, not just the ministers, but God's people. You and I are all ministers. Amen. We're representing the King. Hallelujah. And so if we blow it in our testimony, we need to immediately go back to Jesus and know that there's mercy, there's forgiveness and restoration. Hallelujah. And so don't beat a brother and sister when they're down. Amen. That's not God's heart. God's heart is redemptive. You know, he referred to Joshua in verse 2. He says, "The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you, Satan. Is this not what a brand plucked from the fire?" You get the picture of a, you ever been out camping and something fall in the fire that you didn't want in the fire? You had to quickly get it out of there, amen, before it burned up. You ever catch yourself on fire? Well, you're going to want to put that out really fast, amen? Well, it gives you the picture of Joshua, the high priest, as being like that brand that had fallen, that branch had fallen into a fire, and God snatched him out before it was too late. You understand? There is a time, there is a season of repentance. God gives people space to repent. He gives people an opportunity, but it's not when we decide, it's when God has given you the opportunity. When God is calling you, that is the time that you must decide who you will serve. Are you hearing me, somebody? If God is moving upon you by His Spirit, if He's calling you, that is the time that you must repent. That is a time that you must respond. If God is dealing with your heart today, now is the time for you to repent and get it right. Because if the Holy Spirit is still convicting you, it's a good thing. It just means that God is going to give you the grace to overcome. So don't despise the chastening of the Lord or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, fire has small beginnings. It only takes a spark, doesn't it? And we know that by one man, Adam, sin came into the world. And the Bible also says that a little yeast, right, and the dough can make the whole lump, right, puff up. That's sin. Sin is like yeast, amen, and some dough. So God wants us to deal with the leaven. Get the leaven out. And the only way to do that is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, amen, in repentance and calling on Him and asking Him for help. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. You know, that's one of my daily prayers. Help me, Jesus. I'm saying it all the time. I recommend it. We need His help. We need His grace. Lord, grant me grace. Lord, I need grace. Lord, I need Your help. Hallelujah. So much coming after us. So much going after our minds. Amen. So much temptation. So many allurements. So many things. You know, easy to be offended. And you know, God wants to take us into a place of rest. We have to have a humble heart towards Him and a repentant heart. So God wants us to know that He has overcome the adversary. He's overcome the enemy of our soul. He's got him on a short chain. That when you come into Christ and you become a new creation, hallelujah, God cuts the power of sin in your life. God breaks the power of sin in your life. Amen. He breaks the power of Satan in your life. But you need to enforce that. And you need to use the authority God has given you, amen, to enforce that. And make sure that you're not going to listen to that voice anymore. But you're going to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, the lover of your soul, who will lead you beside the still waters, who will bring you right to the green pastures, where you can lean back in His arms and rest and be at peace with God. Nothing better than that. Hallelujah. I know what it's like to live with a guilty conscience. I know what it's like to be driving down the road and looking in the rearview mirror. Any cops behind me? Oh, I'm so glad now I can celebrate the cops. Amen. I thank God for the cops, right? But it's so good to be forgiven and to be in right standing with God today because of what Jesus did for me and simply responding back. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for Jesus today? Amen. Hallelujah. So how was Joshua delivered here? Well, God delivered him, didn't he? God intervened. You know? And what did God want to do? He wanted to bring him back to usefulness. I know there are those who say, well, not right now. I can't serve God right now because I don't have some things are not right in my life. What are you waiting for? Why? Why are you allowing that devil to rob you through these things? Why would you say yes to something that is destructive? Why would you say yes to someone who hates your guts? Who came to rob and to kill and to destroy, right? And we got to wise up. We got to grow up. Say, Lord, you're always right. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to honor you for the rest of my life. I give you my life. I give you myself back. I give the whole offering to him. So what did God do in verse 4? He says, I've removed your iniquity. He took away something before he placed something on him. What did he do? He took away first the filthy garments. Then he replaced them with what? Holy garments. You understand that our righteousness is just like those filthy garments. Our goodness is never good enough for God. It's not acceptable to God. We need his goodness. We need his righteousness. We need to be clothed in Christ Jesus, who is our righteousness. He's the only one that will qualify you to be faultless before the throne of your Father. So you can come with confidence before him, hallelujah, and call on his name, hallelujah, know that he hears you. In verse 5, it says, let them put a clean turban on his head. Well, this was a priest's mitre, right? And so they put a clean turban on his head and they put the clothes on him and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, it doesn't mention this here, but there was also a crown that went on that turban. And it was a gold plate that was across the front. And with it was an inscription, holiness unto the Lord. How many know God makes you holy? And he crowns you with his righteousness. Hallelujah. And he's the one that qualifies you to be his priesthood, to be his servant. Amen. And so he did what? He took and he placed upon him that turban, which meant that he had been given authority. Hallelujah. He was crowned. Amen. And declared holy by the Lord. Hallelujah. And I also believe there's a lot more to this, but we're just kind of going through it briefly. But you know, God wants our minds sanctified. Amen. Our thought life needs to be sanctified. Now, it's interesting that in Exodus 30 and 32, it says that the anointing oil that would be poured upon the mitered head, by the way, of the high priest, because the anointing was never to touch the flesh. How many know that God does not bless the flesh? The old Adamic nature. God only blesses that which he approves of. And he approves of the new creation. He's the one that clothes you with his garment of salvation. Amen. And the garment of salvation is able to receive the anointing of God so that you can be restored to usefulness. And you can be used of the Lord as a vessel for him. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You understand? You and I are not capable of producing the fruit that God accepts. The fruit that God accepts is the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit working through us. And you and I cooperating with him in that. God approves of that. Because, again, God will anoint what he approves of. And God always approves of his will. His will for your life is that which God approves. And if you are operating in the will of God, the anointing will rest upon your life and you will become effective. Amen. It's not of us. It's the anointing that works. Like Paul said, it's not of me. Not I, but the grace of God that works in me. Hallelujah. Isn't this cool? We get to do this. So, what God approves, He anoints. Have you been approved today? Are you in right standing with God today? Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Lord, I come to you. I want to lead us all in a prayer this morning, just a prayer of consecration. Maybe you've been out of the race for a while. Maybe you've just felt like you're disqualified or you're just not good enough. God makes you good enough. God makes me good enough. My good enough is Him. Amen. So I want to just lead us in a prayer of consecration, of rededication of our hearts, of our lives to Him. Maybe you've never really received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must receive Christ. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not of Him. You do not belong to Him. And if you do not belong to Him, then you will end up in hell. You must repent of your sins and turn to the only one who can forgive you of those sins and make you right. He'll take out the old heart and give you His heart. You'll become a new creation in Him. Hallelujah. God wants His church to commit themselves to Him, to submit themselves to Him. Amen. And then when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If you want to get in on this, let's just pray together and pray from your heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross, that you shed your blood, your perfect blood for my sin, that you died in my place, that you took my iniquity so that I could be forgiven. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. I come to you for salvation. Save me, Lord. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. I ask you to restore me to fellowship, to reappoint me to the mission you've called me to. Lord, give me the power of your Spirit. Anoint me and raise me up and use me for your glory, because I want to bring you pleasure. I want to live for your honor. So Lord Jesus, I come to you. And lift your hands right now and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my body, my soul, in my spirit. I am yours and you are mine. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Man, I felt a freedom. Just feel freedom in this house right now. God has lifted that burden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you made a decision for Jesus the first time, you need to tell somebody. Amen. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, you will also be denied. Amen. So Lord, give us strength to live for you, to be bold for you. Amen. To not trust in ourselves, but in your ability. For in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, Ephesians 2:4, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and did what? raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So even as God said, Joshua, if you walk faithful with me, amen, if you obey me, amen, then I'll give you a place among those that are here. Heavenly places, amen. God wants to bring you into a place of rest in the Holy Spirit where there is righteousness and peace and joy. Hallelujah.